Board Game Bros. Hello, listeners.
All right.
This is the Board Game Brothers podcast. I'm Jeffrey Craig.
And I'm Matthew Craig.
We're brothers in real life.
And game designers in real life.
And this is our podcast where we talk about board games, board game design, gaming, gaming as a hobby in general, everything, but mostly centered around board game design.
Yep.
And this is an episode where we're going to talk about one particular game. We're going to talk about its gameplay, how to play it, some strategies involved. And and then we're going to dig into the design a little bit at the end.
Yeah.
So, Matthew, what game are we talking about today? This is, of course, what I am referring to as Greatest Hits May, which you disagree with the name
for of. For the sake of clarity, I'm just going to agree with the same thing, because
yes,
it'll make it easier for everyone.
And for the sake of clarity, I'll say that these aren't the greatest hits of our podcast. These are our personal greatest hits of board games that we've played
in general. We do tend to mention these games quite a bit.
Obviously,
hence yeah. why we're covering them.
Yeah, we like them so much that we constantly compare games to them, and we thought that for this month we might as well do some dedicated episodes to them just to bring you guys in on what we're talking about.
Right.
And also just share our passion for these games.
Right. So, last week we did a game that was a pretty relatively heavy strategy game.
Mm-hmm.
This week we have the complete opposite.
This
is the light card game. We didn't playtest this at all.
Yes, and you listeners may have picked up that we kind of like to do sort of this kind of structuring where every other week we'll kind of try something a little bit different that contrasts to the previous week.
Yeah, it keeps things fresh.
Yeah, it keeps things fresh. It keeps one week a little more interesting than the last week, less of the same. Anyways, yes,
yeah.
We're talking about my favorite party game,
We Didn't Playtest This at all.
Matthew, do you have some history on We Didn't Playtest This at all?
Well, it was designed by Chris Cieslik and published in 2007 by Asmodee Games.
Mm-hmm. Did it win anything?
No.
Well, it should have.
It won a spot in my heart.
To talk about the history of We Didn't Playtest This, it comes from a long line of games that people did not playtest. I think the first example of this is the one-on-one blood sport that the cavemen's would do. It's kind of hard to playtest that kind of thing because it's sort of a just like a life or death scenario.
Right.
And this gameplay is also sort of a life or death scenario when you play it. It's one of my favorite party games. And here's just something I put down. To get you in the headspace that We Didn't Playtest This requires you to be in, here's a short description of the game. And We Didn't Playtest This at all. Players play as players in a game attempting to win the game, typically by not losing. Play starts with whoever bought the game or whoever bought the game chooses, and continues clockwise until one player wins or all other players lose. On a player's turn, they perform two distinct and unchangeable actions. They draw one card, and then they play one card. The true skill comes from which card to play. Some cards say that you win, some cards say that your opponent, singular, loses, and one card says that you lose. And I dare you to try it. If you lose, you lose. If you win, you win. And if you don't lose, we can just chalk that up to a victory.
Did you catch that?
Did you catch that? Should I go over it again?
Basically,
the most important thing to keep in mind is that players are playing as players in a game attempting to win the game by not losing,
right?
For the most part.
It can basically be described in two rules: draw one, play one, and then try not to lose, try to win.
Yeah, the rest comes from what's written on the cards. And generally, what's written on the cards are text that says whether or not you win or whether or not people that you're playing with lose.
Or some way to determine who does what.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple examples of cards that have some small extra rules. Some cards let you draw and have extra turns. But for the most part, it's this. The most common ways that We Didn't Playtest does this are, I'd say, there's sort of three categories of cards that have some sort of effect on who wins and who loses. Actually, I'll change that. There's four. The first one is just straight up, this person loses, which I will call them the single elimination cards. So these are cards like Arrowed or Dragon that just say...
Black Hole.
Yes. You play them in front of another player, or yourself, I guess, in some cases, if you want. And it says, if the card is in front of you at the end of your turn, you lose. The next example is the Mass Choice cards, which have a choice that all players participate in, except usually the person who plays the card. And depending on how you respond to that choice... you either stay in the game or you lose. So this is an example. An example of this is a card like Presence. Matthew, Presence, yes or no?
No.
The present was kittens. Anyone who said no loses. Anyone who said yes stays in the game. I would have said yes.
Right.
Matthew, Presence, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, the presence was snakes. Unfortunately, the snakes bite you and you lose. See, I would have said yes to such a thing. You see how it goes.
Yeah.
These sorts of questions are posed to everyone playing the game, and depending on how you answer, it could be a win or a loss, and there's very little way to know exactly which answer is the right one. The only other, let's see, there's two other kinds of cards. There's one of them, which are rules cards, which just add a blanket rule to every player playing the game. My favorite example of this is the card called Me, which states that players cannot say the words I, me, or my, and if you do, you lose. This is one that is sort of like a sword that has an edge that faces your opponent, but also an edge that faces you. In that it can get your opponents out very easily, but you also have to be very careful with such a weapon, because if it were to swing the opposite direction, it could cut you.
Yeah.
Like a sword with an edge that faces you.
As well as the opponent.
Yes. And then the last version of a card that can actually knock someone out of the game is the spite cards, or the cards where you play them usually when you lose, or some combination of people lose, or some number of players are left in the game. These cards let you change the outcome of what just happened regarding who stays in the game and who loses. So there's one card called Noob that says if multiple people just lost, but one winner hasn't been determined from this, then you can just choose one of the players who lost as the person responsible. They alone lose. Everyone else stays in the game. There's also Spite that states if you lost and there's still other players in the game, then you choose another person and they lose, but you still lose. You just get to take somebody out with you.
There's also I Lose.
Yes, there's I Lose, which is a unique card in its own category, which is the one card that just all it does is make you lose. It dares you to play it.
There's also, there is a fifth category I would add,
mm-hmm.
which is cumulative cards, which are sort of sets of multiple cards that as they get played, they get closer to somebody winning or somebody losing. There are bombs, which when you play it, you take an extra turn,
mm-hmm.
and when enough bombs accumulate,
I think it's about five.
Yeah.
I think five bombs.
Then everybody loses.
Yes.
Likewise, there are balms, which can be used to cancel out bombs.
I believe bombs come from the expansion.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
But there is points.
Yes. Although I would categorize these. So the first four cards, the first four types of cards I discussed, these are kind of the cards that just immediately make people lose. Now we're talking about alternate win conditions.
Right. And these are sort of filler.
Mm-hmm. And then other than that, the kind of cards that you're playing with in this game are
defense cards.
Yeah, there's defense cards which counteract these specific cards that target a single player and force them to lose. So, for example, for arrows, you can block them with a shield, which actually lets you deflect them to another player.
Same with the dragon.
Yes, same with the dragon. There's other ways of taking care of the dragon and the arrows and the black hole and whatnot.
These defense cards also let you just draw two cards, so mm-hmm. they're not always useless.
And I think there's maybe one or two cards that just let you also draw a couple extra cards.
Yeah.
Like cheating. I think cheating lets you draw a couple cards. So that's the gist of the game. Strategy-wise,
There's not much.
There's not much to the strategy.
There's two things I can think of.
Looks, but I'll say this. If you really want to win, we didn't playtest this at all. By my unfounded calculations, you have a 1 in 3 chance of losing on any opponent's turn. So, and I didn't playtest that calculation, but you're just going to have to trust me. So the way to win is to get rid of as many opponents as you can on your turn, meaning the best cards to play are the ones where there's a choice that affects every player, and there's a chance that more than one player lose from that kind of card. And then after that, the best cards to play are the single elimination cards, but I don't think those are very fun, so I like to play the rules cards over those if I have the option, because the rules are also a way to take out multiple opponents, and they make the game more fun.
So there is, of course, ways you can metagame in order to gain an advantage.
Sure. You can keep track of the votes, or the kind of vote cards that get played in a game.
Right. Like, if somebody plays the presence card that would have snakes in it, then you know that the next one is most likely to be kittens.
Now, there is a third presence card where the present is empty, and anyone who accepted the present has to give the person that played the card one of their cards.
Right.
You can metagame. You can sort of mitigate your losses. In the case of the presence card, you know, the cats is, if you say yes, you win. If you say no, you lose. The snake is the opposite. And the empty present is, if you say yes, you lose a card. If you say no, then nothing happens to you.
So theoretically, saying yes has a higher chance of succeeding.
Well, theoretically, saying no is actually better.
Really?
If all three are in play, it's either lose, stay in the game and do nothing, stay in the game and do nothing, is the no's. And then the yeses are lose, give up a card, stay in the game and do nothing. So a no is technically better if none of them have been played. And if the presents have been played, then you want to say it's a 50-50. If the empty present has been played, it's a 50-50. If the either the snakes or the cats have been played, then you obviously want to go for the other one.
Yeah. There is also counting, in which the player who plays it will just start counting. And they're in.
You mean nose?
Nose. I thought it was called counting.
I think it is called counting, actually.
So there are two of these. One of them is if any player does not have, or any player that does not have their finger on their nose when you say three, they lose. And then there is also any player who has their finger on their nose when you say five loses. Four?
Yeah, it's four.
Right, so what you can do is you can hold your finger on your nose, and then right between three and four, you take it off.
Sure. Does this all sound exciting to you guys?
Also, wear blue. There is a card that says if you're wearing blue, you win.
I thought it was if you're the only one wearing blue, you win.
I thought it was just if you're wearing blue.
Be a girl. There's a card that says if you're the only girl playing the game, you win. There is a card that says if you're the shortest player in the game, you win. So be short. That's another way to win. Don't wear your platform shoes. There's a lot of cards that just say you win, but only if you meet a very specific, condition. So, you know, these cards are good if you win, as soon as you play them, but they're bad if you don't, because otherwise they just give you points, and points are the hardest way to win in this game. If you have the card that says PC, it makes everybody win. That's one of my personal favorites to play.
Yeah.
But my actual personal favorite is I Lose. I play it every time.
Because that's really what the game is about. Is about having a fun time.
Yes, this game, I mean, we could talk about strategy, but in the context of this game, it just doesn't matter, really. The point of this game is to have a wacky, fun time. The way I like to describe this game to people is it's a game that lasts anywhere from 10 minutes to 5 seconds. Because everyone can lose on the first card that is played. And everyone can win on the first card that is played, in some cases. It's just a wacky, goofy game.
Before we get into the design, I kind of want to expand on that. This game is really unique because there are other, what I would call, comedy games. Think stuff like Munchkin, where the game is sort of designed around innate humor within the game. But a lot of those comedy games, the jokes are all just what the cards say or depict.
Yeah.
So same sort with of like the flavor exploding of the card. Kittens or even Cards Against Humanity.
Right.
They're all just like the jokes are on the card and the game is like a separate thing altogether. We didn't play test this at all. Is one of the rare occasions where not only are the jokes on the cards, but some of them you don't even really get until you start to play. So it's like, it's a comedy game where the game itself, or playing the game itself, leads to the true punchline.
Yeah, the gameplay is funny.
Yeah.
In Munchkin, the gameplay isn't funny. Right. It's just fighting monsters and building up your strength and countering your opponent's strengths. And it can kind of get funny when people are like throwing down a bunch of weird potions on a monster that wildly change the outcome of a fight. But in this game, it's just funny like to just lose.
Right.
or to just knock someone out in a weird way.
Part of that is because, say, Munchkin, the cards are a lot of parodies of, like, fantasy tropes and RPG cliches, but that's just, again, a name. In We Didn't Playtest This, the game design of the cards is a parody of other, like, card games, but that goes all the way to, like, gameplay structure and format, in that, like, in most, like, card games, they're designed to last a pretty short amount of time and be relatively simple for new players to jump in. Well, they have that in spades by letting the game win turn one.
Yeah.
And likewise, there's stuff like Flux where it adds rules to the game. This game, the rules are really... really weird and mundane, like no saying the word you.
The strategy of this game isn't about how to win, it's how to have a good time, and how to have a good time in this game is really just be totally okay with losing, because you're just gonna lose a lot and the game's gonna be over very quickly, so it's nothing to be bummed about. You're going to get back in the game very soon. And as long as you have a benevolent owner of the game like we do, because that's me, in our playgroup, then everyone will at least get a chance to go first in a round. I always start with me because I own the game and I don't care. And I don't care what you say, I'm just going to go first the first time we play the game. But I always pass it around to everybody who gets to go first. And if one person... after a while hasn't won, I may even give them like some extra turns going first, just to help them out, throw them a bone, if you will.
Something, do you mind if we go into the design right now?
Just one last note about the strategy of the game: win,
yeah,
and also don't lose.
Try not to lose.
The design, I think most of this episode is going to be talking about the design.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff that I love about this game.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get into it.
So first off, I do want to bring up something really quick about how basic the rules are. Going back to sort of what we talked about a bit in our party games episode, party games tend to want to allow really quick dropping in, or dealing in and dropping out, and then just quick pick up and play. This, again, distills that to its most basic form of just try to, or just play one, draw one, try to win, try not to lose. That's all the rules. It takes, like, 2 seconds to say it.
Yeah, draw one, play one, try not to lose, and try to win.
Since the rounds go so quickly, it's very easy to get people to jump in and then leave whenever they want to.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, and you know what the game is about after, like, the first card is played.
After you draw the first card.
Really, yeah, after you just read the cards in your hand, then you're just like, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, this game, people are going to be dropping like flies in this game. And, so game design-wise, the one way that they really accomplish this, other than just having the draw one, play one structure, which is a pretty light card game common structure, Flux uses it. That whole game is based around playing with the idea of a draw one, play one game. There's many other kinds of games that use that sort of format, but, this game, and many other games accomplish draw one, play one with still a level of depth and complexity by putting most of the rules on the cards.
Right.
And this is a pretty common thing that a lot of games do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is game design 101.
Yeah, put the rules on the cards.
Or just as much rules visible to the players.
And, you know, in a game, all rules point to how do you win. And in the case of this game, you win just by playing a single card. So they don't, that's why they don't need all the rules.
Yeah.
Because the winning or losing the game, you just say that on the card and that's all you need, right?
Likewise, the cards don't have any art. Sometimes there is a star in the background of a card, but that's the most. But that also means they can fit more text onto the cards to the point where they can have, you know, complicated rules, or they can have flavor text to add to more funness.
Or they can have inane rules, rules that don't mean anything.
Yeah.
For example, there's one card that says, I think it's the Ah Zombies card, is the one where you have to say Ah Zombies before you play a card, unless you have a banana. That's in the rules of the card. You, if you have a banana, you don't have to say that. The base game doesn't have a banana in it.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of a fun thing, is it really blurs the lines between what's in the game and what's not.
Yes.
So many times when you're playing games, you will read a card in... when it says something like that, you automatically think that it refers to something in the game, because games try to separate themselves from the real world a lot of times, but nope.
Let's see.
Yeah. Also, this game has player elimination, obviously.
Yeah.
But since it goes so quickly, it doesn't get in the way.
Yeah, I want to dig a little bit more into that.
Yeah.
In this game, losing is fun.
Yeah.
In some cases. In, you know, in almost any other game you play, this is one thing that I love a lot about this game, is that, like, in almost any other game, if you lose, you get bummed out. In this game, like, you'll get bummed out, like, you don't want to, sometimes you don't want to play anymore, and that's terrible.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially a game should be a, for a lot of games, it should be designed such that you want to keep playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you lose and you get bummed, that's bad.
That's especially for a party game, or a game that's sort of meant in these social situations.
Yeah,
you don't want to be a party pooper.
So this game, losing is fun and funny because it can happen so quickly. It's kind of like that Family Guy humor where just, like, something bad happens very fast, like someone falls down the stairs real fast or something. It's kind of like the equivalent of that in a board game, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's, the joke is on you, but you get to laugh at it too.
Mm-hmm. And they lean into it, like, you lose if you don't accept a present with kittens in it.
Yeah.
You know, that's ridiculous. There's just the simple existence of the card I lose that makes you lose is, like, is just great.
And, you know, the fact that the cards that multiple people can lose from all are, like, a choice, it doesn't really feel that bad because it's kind of random.
Yeah, it's kind of a coin flip, and you can think about it all you want, but, yeah, usually it just comes down to a coin
flip. So it doesn't feel like you failed.
Yeah, you didn't.
It feels like you just happened to draw unlucky.
Yeah, draw or choose unlucky.
Yeah.
Not but, even draw.
I mean, it just comes back to your next time.
Yeah.
And I think also the fact that it sort of desensitizes you to losing helps with the game a lot, since kind of the point of the game is just having cards that say you win or you lose.
Oh, yeah.
That since it's so quick and so kind of pointless to worry about losing,
it
makes it so the game can actually live. It has legs.
Right. When the game only lasts at the most, like, 3 minutes... then, yeah, it's okay. You get so many chances to play even when you lose.
That you get so desensitized that you want to play the you lose card.
Yeah, and I play it every time, like I said. It takes the concept of ending the game before you're done playing it to the extreme.
Yeah.
Because of how fast it ends. You know, I'm curious. This is sort of a side note. I want to kind of see what else can be done with this idea where you're designing a game that's supposed to be over in just, like, 3 minutes, where the point is to, like, knock people out of the game really hard and fast.
Group rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but how can you do that? I guess I can think of some examples, and we'll bring those up in the end of the episode where we usually bring up our examples of other games. But yeah, you can lose in 5 seconds, the game is over in 3 minutes, and now you want to play again. Sometimes you lose before you get your first turn, and that's probably the worst feeling that you experience playing this game. But again, the game goes so fast that, you know, it's not for long until you're back in the game knocking other people out instead.
And then again, another thing about when you lose, you draw a new hand when you start the game up.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it so you can see a lot more cards in one game. Because, like, if you start the game with 2 cards in hand, but then each turn you normally draw 1, that's like restarting the game is like seeing, you know, 8-10 new cards all around the table.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps that the deck is moderately sized. It's not a huge deck, but it's not a small deck either.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go through much more of the deck and see almost all the cards in the game in one session. Just because people lose quick enough, draw new hands, you're back with new stuff.
And that's kind of a good point for games where a lot of the rules are kept on the cards. It's important to be able to see a lot of cards quickly because you need to understand exactly what the game entails. Mm-hmm. The game is also very basic, so usually it's just like two steps of understanding what the game is like. Step one is seeing the cards and realizing that they all just say something to the effect of some players lose or you win. And then the second step is seeing that there's multiple cards that are similar but with different outcomes, like the multiple presence cards. And then after that, you got the game downloaded. You know how to play.
And also, reshuffling the deck whenever you start a new game helps with the choice cards, because since you're starting new games so quickly, it's much less likely that you're going to end up getting, you know, another one in that same category of choice card and being able to mitigate it, which helps with the whole, you know, keeping it so it feels kind of random, and it helps with the surprise of what actually happens. So it just helps keep the whole atmosphere going and going and going.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure if the rules state that you should, like, not shuffle the discard from previous games. And if it does, yeah, ignore that rule. Because I own the game, so I choose the rules now.
Well, yeah, it's
and
house rules.
Yeah, the house rule is just shuffle every time, so that there is no paying attention and predicting. Another thing about this game, and that's very good, is that it's a party game. And losing quickly isn't a bad thing, because when you're not playing the game, now you're just hanging out with friends.
Yeah.
And you can almost kind of, like create some camaraderie around being knocked out so early, especially with how many cards knock out multiple people. Because then if you're just hanging out with friends, you're having a fun, you're playing this party game, a couple of you get knocked out, now you all can bond over how you all got knocked out in that way, and now you don't have to focus on the game.
Yeah, and you have somebody else to talk about.
Sure. You can talk to them about whatever. You don't have to play the game or think about the game anymore. You don't really even have to think about the game while you're playing it, because
that's true. When decisions are very, very, very limited.
And you don't have to do any reading ahead in this game, because if it's not your turn, all you have to do is just listen to what the other player says whenever they ask you a question of, like, presence or no, or cake or death.
You don't have to think about it hard at all.
Yeah, no, it's just because it's a coin flip. You just say, whatever, cake, and then you just go back to whatever you were doing.
Also,
great for parties.
The title of each card is in a large bolded font.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pick up your hand, you can usually tell what the card is about when you just read the top bold part, and then you don't even really have to read much else to know, like, this is something I play on somebody else, this is a card I read aloud.
Mm-hmm.
Also, those instructions that say whether to read it aloud or put in front of somebody are always in the next line.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really quickly glance at your hand, figure out what you're going to do, and then put it down and do something else.
Sure. Let's see.
And also,
yep.
Sorry, never mind. I was just going to say something else about the decision-making being really quick. But I think, again, a lot of it is just that the rounds go so quick and you knock people out all the time. There's also not much of a consideration as to who's in the lead, because it's really just who's in or who's out. It's a binary state.
Yeah.
So you don't have to weigh, you know, you don't have to balance, diplomacy or, like, getting somebody who's in the lead down so that others can catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Just knock whoever out.
And there's no way of really knowing, like, what people have in their hands. So it's not like, oh, I have the arrow card, so I want to use it on the person that doesn't have a shield or something.
Oh.
There's, like, no way of predicting that kind of thing.
You know, there is sort of a way to see what's in people's hands.
You can, yes.
Which is the star cards.
Right. There's sort of one identifier that they use on cards beyond just what they do. Sort of a marker on certain cards is their star cards. I'd say about half the deck has stars on the back of the cards. The other half just have the company logo on the back, which is a, like, some kind of compass. And But the thing is, the stars don't mean anything.
Pretty much.
You can, so really, it's still like a literal coin toss of what the star card will do for your opponent if they have it in their hand.
The star cards say that they're better than other cards on the back, but I think that's just a joke.
It is a joke, because that presence card example, one of them is a star card and the other is not, but they do pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
So, there's really no reason for the star card.
Well, there are cards that are like, if any player has more star cards in hand than you, win or something.
Yeah, they serve as just like an identifier or a marker of sorts, mm-hmm. but they don't have like any significance other than the simple mechanical significance that is identifying whether or not anybody has them in their hands.
And I think they serve another point that's really helpful, which is to help relax players by showing that the position of the cards in the deck or the cards in your hand is largely irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
That it doesn't matter which way your cards in your deck are oriented or if they're all facing the same way, because they're not even all the same card back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, I think that's really helpful because a lot of times when you're playing games with decks, people might get ornery. I mean, I've met a ton of people that get really uptight about all their cards facing the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But this just skips over that by making it so that you really can't accommodate for that because there's at least half the cards maybe with a different card back.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. I like the rules in the game. This is something that a couple party games do really well, is the constant rule that affects all players is always a fun thing to include in some kind of a game, especially in this game, because in the example of like the me card, I, me, or my, when you're not in the game, you can say that word as much as you want, and you can try and trick other people into saying it. I think it's interesting that somebody out of the game still has the ability to affect the game by messing with players, and that's kind of funny.
Honestly, some of those rules are great for that purpose, that they kind of add this mini game of trying to trick people into breaking the rule.
Yeah.
Also, it's interesting, a lot of these card games tend to have the rules as something you must follow, mm-hmm. not something you shouldn't break.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those few examples where the rules are like a gotcha sort of thing, but they're also really easy to slip up because they're all very normal things, like pointing at people, saying first-person pronouns.
Yeah, I, me, or my, you, yours, your, and they them, there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. I love that, these little rules. And
it's also, again, acts as a parody of party card games, because the rules are very basic
mm-hmm.
and kind of benign, but also they serve their purpose.
I like that there's those rules, the pointing, and then these three rules that are very difficult to keep up with, but then the other rules in the game are just saying something weird before you play a card that doesn't matter. Like you say "Ah, zombies" before you play a card, or you say "Comic Sans is awesome" before you play a card. Like the ones where it is about doing something and having to do something rather than trying to not do something, they're just dumb.
Yeah, just second nature.
Yeah, probably impossible to forget, mm-hmm. really. Eventually, isn't one of them a hot potato where you have to pretend to pass a hot potato to somebody something?
What I think is funny is those are the ones that are like kind of conventionally funny.
Yeah.
Things like screaming for running away for zombies or Comic Sans. But those are the ones that are the most boring rules that become second nature. The ones that are very bland rules in theory, like pointing at other players, are the ones that end up the most interesting in gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is like a mini joke in itself.
When I worked at a go-kart place, and there they had a rule for the people that worked there where if you were directing a guest to go somewhere, you could not point. You had to gesture with an open hand, because apparently pointing is rude. And I think the card in this game also says pointing is rude or something like that. You gesture with an open hand. So that's my gameplay tip for that rule if you're playing in this game. Just keep your hand like a fin.
Like a butler.
Like a paddle, yeah.
This way, sir.
You mentioned right. Comic Sans, so let's talk about the design of this game, visually.
There was a bit of game design I wanted to touch on still.
Oh, okay. We can wrap back around to it.
Yeah,
okay. I just want to touch on this real quick since sure. I had a good segue. So the font that they use in this game is Arial, which is great. Because it's the default font on a Windows computer, and it's worse than Helvetica. So, at least it was the default font. It is a default font for sans serif web design. And it is, I think now the default font is Calibri. But either way, it's like a basic font, and it's worse than Helvetica. And it's hilarious that they would choose to use that for all their cards, because it's like the least effort they could put into it. Which makes total sense for a game called We Didn't Play Test This.
Likewise, there's no art.
Yep.
And everything can be done in PowerPoint.
Sure.
Like, there's just these black lines separating the top thing from the bottom. There's not even, like, card borders or boxes.
Yeah, there's
like you would normally expect.
The only artwork is the stars that are on the front and the back of the star card, and then the company logo that's on the back of the other cards. Everything else is just this boring Arial font.
It's black and white, so printing it must have been really cheap.
It's perfectly readable.
Yeah.
Because it's not some crazy Jace Bellerin typeface. It's just normal sans serif
Arial. It is the embodiment of form follows function.
And that function is easy as possible,
yeah.
And as low effort as possible, as unplay-tested as possible. So it's perfect.
Yeah.
And the only exception to this design consideration that they've made is that Comic Sans is Awesome card is obviously set in Comic Sans. Everything else is just Arial. It would be funny if Comic Sans was in like marker felt or like some other like dumb brush script like default font that wasn't Comic Sans.
Yeah.
But either way, I'm happy with their decision there. Great looking game all around.
Yeah.
There was one more thing you wanted to say about
this. There's a couple.
Okay.
One thing, I think it's funny that points are pretty much meaningless.
Yeah.
These things that are almost essential to, like, the canon of Euro games, especially, are just meaningless. And they don't even really work. Like, it's really hard to win with points.
Yeah, because you
especially when somebody plays super points, which gives you 90 points, but makes everybody require 100 points to win.
Exactly. I like, it's like, whose line is it anyway? The points don't matter.
Yeah.
For the most part. Because you need to play, to break it down in game design terms, you need to play 3 cards in order to reach 15 points. Because, or sometimes 2 cards. There's the you win cards, which if you cannot meet their requirements, they'll just give you 5 points. And then the points cards, which give you 8 points. So you need either 2 points cards or 2 U wins and 1 points or 3 U wins. So that's a lot of turns to have to go through of other players that you have to survive doing
and
nothing.
Just thinking about efficiency, you can win with just 1 card oftentimes.
Yeah, so why would you do that where instead of trying to win... I mean, people could also win with points, and there's always a chance that they play super points. So, yeah,
right.
Points don't matter. And, yes, that is a hilarious observation on how other games, it's like you live and die by the point. And in this game, the point gives you nothing.
Yeah. They almost throw points around just willy-nilly,
yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah, it seems arbitrary whenever they give you points.
Which just adds to the whole thing of not play testing.
It's also kind of funny how they word it. They say, otherwise, get 5 points.
Yeah. Also, bomb cards, they're interesting because since they let you take an extra turn, they're filler, but they also lead to an ending.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something you can play that lets you just kind of draw another card and play another card that can still affect the game and make it end eventually. It's not pointless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like bombs. They're that sense of impending doom that some games will have like that. Personally, I really like games that have this option of all the players losing. Competitive games where every player can lose. Because, I don't know, it at least gives one person who may not have won or who just likes chaos in the world. It gives them that out to just, like, end the game in a way that nobody wins. Which... you know.
I've done that in Commander games before with Magic.
You know, to certain people, that counts as winning for them.
Yeah, it's, if I can't win, then I might as well make it so nobody can.
Exactly. Yeah, honestly, that kind of caters to a kind of player that some games don't cater to.
Yeah.
It's ones that just want to see the game burn.
And that's sort of, again, the point of the game.
Yes.
Yeah. Last point I have as far as game design is that, just in general, the defense cards also draw cards if you want.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the shield, they tend to be, like, draw two cards, or you can reflect the attack that's sent to you onto another player. And so that just means that they're not useless ever. They always have something you can do with them. And having cards in hand is typically a good thing. Gives you options at the least. So, I mean, that's just a good thing in general, is try not to have anything in the game be absolutely dead if the players can't control having it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if they're going to draw a card randomly, make it so that they at least can do something with the card. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels bad when you have stuff in hand that you can't play or doesn't have a purpose, and you're just sitting there like, gee.
Right. All good points.
Yep.
All right. Sort of a shorter episode, but I think when we first started out, our episodes were about this long.
Yeah.
That's been our episode on We Didn't Playtest This at All. One of our favorite party games. Check it out. Play it. Love it. Lose. Win. Die.
Repeat.
Yeah. So yeah. Oh, what are some similar games? I mentioned Flux, which uses the draw one, play one, but then takes it in a weird direction.
For a game that is less about just pure jokes, but it still has that draw one, play one, I would recommend Kittens in a Blender.
Mm-hmm.
I think they came out with an expansion recently, like more Kittens in a Blender.
Yeah.
I saw it on our LGS's shelves.
Okay. Yeah. We Didn't Playtest This at All is my favorite party game. Kittens in a Blender is my second favorite, I'd say, if I had to rank them. Super Fight's good, too.
Super Fight's good. Codenames is good.
Codenames is good.
We did an episode on that.
I really like Kittens in a Blender. Let's just leave it at that. It's a very fun game. It's not really draw one, play one, but it's sort of like a light card game where the fun comes from the gameplay rather than like just stuff that's written on the cards. You know, what's funny about Kittens in a Blender, and I'll just say this, is that there's no actual kitten violence in the artwork on the game.
It's all implied.
It's implied. Yeah. It's all implied just by, you know, by how you use the cards and how you manipulate
them. It's shown off screen.
Yes, it's very funny.
Let's see, there's also Curses, which is a similar sort of rule setting, take that, gotcha, sort
right.
of thing.
Right, if you like the We Didn't Playtest This at All rules cards, like not being able to say I, me, or my, then Curses is a game that's entirely built around that, where every turn you're given one of these curses.
Or you
give one of these curses to somebody. And in that game, you lose by breaking three curses, by failing to uphold three of your curses. And you can choose to do it on purpose if you want.
Because when you fail one, you lose that card.
Right. If you fail to perform a curse, yeah, you get rid of it. And when you lose three, then you lose the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of fun that you can choose not to. Like, there's some ones where you have to, like, keep your elbows to your chest or keep your wrists together or something that can make playing the game very tedious
and
difficult.
Or there's catch-22 combinations.
Yeah, where
like
it's impossible.
Play air guitar and keep your elbows on the table.
Right.
Or not elbows on the table, keep your wrists together.
Yeah, so yeah, you can try your best and you can keep it up. I like it because you can keep it up for a couple turns and then when you just get tired of it, you can ditch it.
And likewise, I've heard of this game. I apologize that I haven't played it. But there is also Snake Oil, which is also a game that requires you to sort of adhere to different rules, but they're really just characters you're playing. I guess it's more of an improv game then, but it's still one that I've heard a lot of people talk about.
Okay. And that's the game where
you try to sell products
mm-hmm.
to different people, but each person's like a different character,
gotcha.
Sort of.
And then I'll close it out by recommending Dead Last. And if you want to know more about Dead Last, go listen to our party games episode. Honestly, a lot of the games we've mentioned here in this post-credit sequence are games that we mentioned in our party games episode that you can check out. that go into a little more detail on the gameplay involved and why they make good party games.
Yeah, they're all very similar.
Uh-huh. So yeah, that's our episode on We Didn't Playtest This At All. If you would like to, you can follow us on social media, on Twitter and Facebook, at BG Bros Cast. You can visit our website if you like.
At bgbcast.com.
Mm-hmm. But I think we would love for you to visit either of those. You can also follow us, you know, on any podcast listening app if you're listening through our website or something. You can leave us a review if you have some information. We've gotten some feedback regarding our party game episode lately, which was apparently pretty dense in references.
But you know, somebody on Twitter said that they liked the episode. So
that's great. Yeah.
There is good. And if you send us some tweets on Twitter, send us some comments on Facebook, mm-hmm. it'll help us improve the show even more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, cause we get feedback from some people saying one thing, but if other people think otherwise, we'd like to hear all of it. And so we can make our podcast the best podcast it can be for everybody. We'd also like you to check out our friend's website at entertainthegeeky.com. That's where our friends Chris and Roger host their podcasts, and that's also where we host our board game company, where we sell merch and our one-page role-playing game, Merle's Truck Stop in Maine.
Yep.
It's a one-page role-playing game with a horror theme, perfect for the merry month of May. And while you're there, hopefully soon, we will have Board Game Bros t-shirts available for purchase.
Yeah, you can rep our logo.
Yeah, if you want. I mean, it's a kind of a cool logo, if I do say so myself.
I do say so myself, so that's two people saying it's a cool logo.
Yeah, so, and if you think that we're cool guys for this podcast, then you should trust our judgment on the coolness of this logo and how cool it would be to wear a shirt with that logo on it. And you can buy that shirt at entertainthegeeky.com because they have web store and we do not on our website.
Also, there is something you forgot to mention.
Yeah,
The Merle's Truck Stop in Maine.
Oh, yeah.
You can currently get it for free.
Normally $5, but you can get it for free.
If you use promo code GEEKY at checkout.
Right.
GEEKY.
That's GEEKY. Promo code GEEKY at checkout for a free copy of Merle's Truck Stop in Maine.
We have another special thing coming up, which you may know about, being our Kickstarter.
Right. It's going to be starting sometime in mid-June, as far as we know. And it is a Kickstarter that will be kickstarting our board game design company as a whole, as well as producing our very first card game, which is
Conniving Cooks, a bluffing and deduction game for 2 to 6 players, in which players are cooks in a fancy restaurant, trying to get the other cooks fired while simultaneously attempting to serve a full course meal to guests.
Mm-hmm. Full course meal, even though it's one dish.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a full course consisting of one.
It's a full one course meal. Yeah. Be on the lookout for that. We'll have more information on this podcast, and we'll also have more information through our website and Twitter.
We'll be hyping it up on social media.
Yeah, so follow us there. Check us out. Listen to everything we have to say, because we love to have you hear us. Follow us, like us, listen to us. Give us a thumbs up. In person. Pat us on the back. We're going to be at Geekway.
Yeah, we're going to be at Geekway next week.
Yeah, if there's any fans of Geekway that want to say hi to us,
you know, I learned that so. Tom Vassell is going to Geekway.
Yeah?
Of the Dice Tower.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, so
if he's a fan, Tom, if you're listening, come say hi to us. We'll be there too.
I mean, if you're there to see Tom Vassell, you can also see us. Say hi. Check us out.
So we're like...
We'll play some games.
We're like if Tom Vassell was split in two and divided into two brothers.
And probably much long ago in terms of size.
Yeah, we're young.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
we're new to this shebang.
But we're strong.
Yeah.
Come pat us on our strong backs when you see us at Geekway, if you're there. Don't fan murder us.
Yeah.
With that...
Also, I do want to say that the Twitter poll ended for our end-of-the-month episode for May.
With a total of how many votes?
2.
Oh, sweet. I didn't vote.
They were both on the... I didn't vote either. They were both on the same thing, which was genre discussion.
So
we will have a genre discussion episode at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And keep an eye out. If you follow us on Twitter, then we will probably be running more polls in the future to help see interest in what sort of episodes we want to do going forward.
Yeah, yeah. We really do want to get your feedback, and the least you can do is respond to our Twitter polls.
Yeah.
Because it's anonymous, it's a single click. I think it's anonymous, right? Actually, yeah, I don't know.
I don't think you can see who voted.
All right, then, yeah. Or,
I don't know.
Anyways, yeah, do so. That's real cool. And, you know, so that means we won't be doing an entire episode dedicated to recording live from Geekway, but we could still probably do a little bit of recording and then find some way to use it.
We'll probably have that on June's Good Stuffs episode.
Yes. So be on the lookout for that, and be on the lookout for next week's episode where we discuss our third game in our Greatest Hits series.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.